It's not safe here. Yeah. Yes, and
so.
yeah.
Forget one. I'm just
The library.
Oh no, I didn't. I do have for any. Yeah, I don't. It's Georgina's.
Georgia.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? I'm here for the. Can you put in that I thought I'm here that was open? But I don't see it on the.
Oh, that was last week. Well, we could have you. That one is law school. Because David thought that he was law. But I don't think David is possible because I don't think you can double dip. Did law school tell you?
No, I
You
just
just got in.
I emailed
Yeah, we
yeah
still.
you
Okay. Yeah. Let's just check with David. Okay. Sounds good. As long as David's cool. Yeah. David can probably hear us.
Oh, he's
If he's
on there.
present at his computer right now. David, can you hear me? Yeah, his unmute did go off.
Someone else can hear.
Yeah.
No, we can, everyone else, I can hear you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that there was actually no position before I.
Yeah, right now we have a person double dip, so I feel like
Okay.
it's probably easier to just not have them double dip.
Okay.
No, there two last one.
No, there's only one, but David just was like,
Oh,
I'm in. We
David
had a
is
call for
like,
it,
yeah.
and then he was like, I'm doing it.
All right, it is 5:03. I'm going to call this meeting to order. Could we start with a roll call of the voting members?
Yes. All right. David Brown.
See if we can hear you this time, David. I know he's there. Catherine Farrell.
Andy Garcia Ortiz.
Here.
Bridget Hayes.
Here.
Michelle Haney.
Here.
Lana Weaker. Jesse Lopez.
Here.
Annika McGraw.
Here.
Dhruv Parekh. Olivia Perkins.
Here.
Kripa Rajagopalan.
Here.
Georgia Smits. Vera Yeh. Malia.
Here.
I'll look at Zoom.
I'm here.
Oh, thank you, Malia. I'll double check Zoom there for Georgia and Vera. But we have nine, so that is quorum right there.
Awesome. We've got a team. I'm now going to call for any late additions to the agenda. I have one that I will be adding.
Sorry, that was me.
Oh,
you're good. Keep going.
If there are any other open positions that are not currently listed in our business of the day, we will add in a bullet point for that for people to nominate themselves, because it was a pretty extensive list and we might have missed a couple. All right, are there any other late additions to the agenda?
Finance chair.
Okay, yes. We're also going to add one other open position for the finance committee chair, which is currently filled by Kripa, but we'll be graduating soon, so we will be looking for someone to fill that position. Okay, up next is approval of the August 28th, 2023 minutes. Are there any changes or questions to the minutes as they are presented currently or online? Are there any objections to unanimously approving the minutes from the last meeting? All right, unanimously approved. Okay, so we will be, I'll introduce the business of the day very briefly before we go into our presentation from Cornell Cinema. We'll be going over resolution one, which is changes to the GPSA FC funding guidelines, which we presented here at our last meeting, which mainly includes removing the process of submitting a budget proposal for organizations and then also asking for reimbursement. Now through campus groups, all you have to do is hold the event and ask for reimbursement. So hopefully it'll make it a lot easier for organizations to host events. But we have to vote to change our bylaws for that. So that's what resolution one is. Resolution two will be discussed by David, who is on Zoom. Yeah, our appropriations VP, David, who will be discussing our internal budget that needs to be passed. And then we will fill as many open positions as we can. But first up, we have a presentation from Cornell Cinema. So welcome,
Molly. I'm gonna wait to have everybody on Zoom on the way back. You get it up and then you like maybe take it over. Thank you. I think I won't enter a full screen, but can everyone see the slides okay? Yeah, awesome. Well, hello everyone. My name is Molly Ryan. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm the director of Cornell Cinema. I'm coming up on 1 year at Cornell, so I will say I still feel very new and like I'm learning my way around, but I feel very lucky to be here early in the semester to see you and to meet this new committee of the GPSA. I have to send apologies that I was supposed to be joined by Malcolm Drentnell, who is our GP, our graduate student representative on our Cornell Cinema Student Advisory Board, and was going to talk to you a little bit about that group I will do my best to represent what Malcolm was going to say, but he's the last student in grad college to meet urgently with the client he's working on with the case. So he sends his apologies, and hopefully we can like find another time for you all to meet him. But he's a great contact. If you have any ideas for the cinema, you can also reach out to me as well. But I'll talk a little bit more about his role and sort of how we're excited to work with grad students at Cornell Cinema. So I apologize if this is like redundant for anybody, but I figured I'd just tell you a little bit about the cinema, tell you a little bit about my sort of vision and leadership of Cornell Cinema as it's evolving. I thought I'd breeze through what is on offer this fall and hopefully entice you to come for some screenings, talk a little bit about ways you can kind of get involved, and then we have sort of a funding pitch to make for this group that we're very grateful for you to consider. And if you have any questions at any point, please feel free to interrupt me and ask. But to start, a little bit about Cornell Cinema. Cornell Cinema was founded in 1970 as a university film society. And I am delighted to share that last Friday was actually our birthday, unofficial birthday. Cornell Cinema was founded as an organization in the spring semester, but this first screening happened on September 8th. 1970. So that is a fun fact that I just learned last week and I thought I would share with you. But we were started as a student-run organization that was getting together to watch movies. And over time, the students running that realized they needed somebody sort of advocating for that program, working with distributors, getting films to campus, all the rest. And so they made a push to hire a director. I think I'm the fourth or fifth director of Cornell Cinema's history. So I feel very privileged to have this role. Well, someone joined the waiting room. Is that okay? You got them? Okay, sorry. and very grateful to be here. For anyone who hasn't been to the cinema, we're housed in Willard Street Theater, which is located in the lower level of Willard Street Hall. So it's a bit confusing because the building's on the slope, but if you come in from upstairs off Hope Plaza, you have to go all the way downstairs to the basement. You come in from the back parking lot, we're the first thing you'll see. So it's tricky to find us, but once you step inside, we're a beautiful classic movie theater. It was built in 1920s, original to the building. But we have all the bells and whistles to show kind of the latest and best quality cinema. We operate about 5 nights a week during the academic year. We sort of start up a week of classes and wrap up when final exams begin. And we show a whole mix of contemporary and classic films. Really focused on highlighting a variety of genres, hosting lots of different types of special events. We're particularly keen on like cinema experiences, so things that you like can't see or do from the comfort of your own home. And our programming is often organized in semester-long series that let you explore sort of an idea, the work of a filmmaker, a place, a question. And so that's kind of how we're sort of thinking through the course of a semester through selection of film. We also collaborate with partners across campus and beyond. I'm really interested in sort of interdisciplinary thinking about film. And so I love sort of thinking about how the cinema can be relevant to different disciplines, how to work with and amplify the work of student groups, and increasingly how to think kind of beyond campus. We're a rare space where the public is regularly invited in, and that feels like a great opportunity and also a responsibility. And so I think a lot about that in my work and how to take advantage of the opportunity of like a hybrid academic and public audience. We also try to invite special guests and filmmakers to campus. There have a couple of exciting filmmaker events coming up in November that I can't quite announce to you, even though I was hoping to. I think I got to tell you about the Succession event at the meeting last January. And so I'm sorry I can't say more yet, but we sort of try to bring in people to talk to you about their films or about sort of the history of cinema whenever we can. So the best way to keep in touch with us is to sign up for our email list, and we'll be announcing everything there. Because I'm still new to my role, I thought it would be helpful just to kind of sketch a little bit of what I'm interested in doing at Cornell Cinema. One is Cornell is an incredibly global and international place. So I try to be really global in our programming focus and to think about bringing to campus films that might not otherwise get here or that you might not otherwise encounter. And so we try to think about sort of accessing films from all across the world and think about choosing films by filmmakers that represent the interests and backgrounds and experiences of the people on this campus. I'm also really interested in the history of film technology and sort of continuously astounded that we figured out how to do this thing of making pictures move in the way that we can see and hear. I think we take a lot of that for granted in our like point and shoot iPhone world. So helping think through the sort of evolution of this art form is something that I think we can do well here, and this region is actually really important to that history. I'm also interested in different types of film labor, which sort of we often talk about the lead actor or the director. If anybody's been following like the summer film festivals or the strike, you maybe understand why it matters to think about the other creative contributors to the art of film. And so I'm interested in bringing in sort of different types of people, thinking about sound, production design, writing, film editing. What I love about movies is that no one person can make it by themselves. It takes sort of like a village, a team of creative collaborators. And I think we can kind of tease out that complexity in the space of Cornell cinema. I'm also interested in just kind of resonating with conversations on campus and screening films that address issues that we all care about and that you're thinking about in your classes and in your student organizations, but also sort of using the cinema as a way to think across disciplines. So how can a film bring people who don't study the same thing together for a conversation that moves our world or our thinking forward in exciting ways. And then I also just sort of am excited about this idea of celebrating the sort of dynamic range of the art of film, that it can be for fun and entertainment, but also sort of for rigorous educational value, and that there is space to do both of those things in a place like Cornell Cinema. And part of that means sort of expanding this idea of the cinematic canon. So questioning what makes a film great, who decides how that happens over time. And we have a series that's one way to do that, but really sort of trying to bring lots of different types of films to campus and to think through some of those political questions as well. So here are some nuts and bolts about coming to Cornell Cinema. One of the reasons I'm here to talk with you today is that we are very grateful to be supported by the GPFA, and thank you for that ongoing support. It really makes our work possible. And one of the ways we sort of honor that investment is by trying to make it as affordable as possible for grad students to come to the cinema. And so we have this annual program called the All Access Pass, which allows you to pay one flat rate for the entire academic year. So it starts good from August all the way through till May, and you can see as many movies as you want for that one price. And so for grad students, it's $25 for the whole year. And so if you come a handful of times in the course of your year, it pays for itself really quickly. It's a good deal. It might be too good to be true. We're not sure. We're gonna keep an eye on it. But we really are grateful for your support and really want to welcome you as easily and with as few barriers as possible. So there is a QR code. I can also share links. You can find more information on our website. But it's a great sort of program and a way to let you see a lot of movies for not a lot of money. If that program doesn't work for you, you can also just come see us sort of as a general admission customer. We also try to keep our ticket prices super low. So for Cornell grad professional students, it's $6 per screening. So you see that 25, if you come a couple times, it sort of works out really quickly, but we sort of do our best to make it affordable for you just to come once or twice as well. I will mention that we did not increase our ticket prices this year, but if that, or our all access pass prices, but if that is something we were to decide to do in the future, I would sort of present that to this group. For your sign off. We have an Instagram, so if you'd like to stay connected with us on social media, we post about fun events and upcoming happenings, including our birthday last week. We also have a newsletter that you can sign up for on our website, and we have a Facebook page, and then we also sort of try to get information to you through the grad student newsletters in the Big Red Barn. So we're trying to meet you where you are, but if you ever have creative ideas of like how best to tell your cohort, your friends, your clubs about the cinema, please do let us know, because we're always trying to sort of spread the word a little bit more widely, and particularly connect you with opportunities that are exciting to your work. So I'm going to just breeze through some of what's on offer at Cornell Cinema. I'll mention that we show over 100 films a semester, so I won't tell you about everything. But I'll tell you some about these thematic series that are in play this semester, and I hope you'll find some things that are exciting to you. The first slide is a doozy, so just fair warning. We have this group that I'll tell you a little bit more about in a minute called the Student Advisory Board, and this spring we wrestled with the idea of what is a cult classic? What does it mean to be a cult classic? What are the conditions? Does something have to be bad or strange or weird? Or subversive in some way, and how does that change over time? Can something be too popular to be cult? So we wrestled with all these questions and came up with a group of about 8 or so cult classics to share with you. Lots of strange, weird, awesome, some that you've heard of, like the Rocky Horror Picture Show, some that maybe you haven't seen before. So I definitely encourage you to check out that series. And that was sort of designed in consultation with our students who are going to sort of continue to be ambassadors of that this semester. In October, we're also celebrating the actress Anna Mae Wong, who's one of the pioneering figures in cinema history. She's considered the first Asian American Hollywood star. And so we're doing a 5-part focus on her life and work that'll include a lecture by Professor Shirley Jennifer Lim, who's a leading animated Wong scholar and also an alum of the history department here at Cornell. She'll be coming to give a talk about Anna Mae Wong's sort of stature as an international movie star and some of the ways that she navigated the difficult political racist structure of Hollywood during her lifetime. I'm really excited. She started her career in the silent era, so we're going to have a couple of films that have live musical accompaniment, which are really sort of spectacular experiences. We're also borrowing a print from UCLA of Toll of the Sea, which is the first ever Technicolor film. And so Anna Mae Wong was not only pioneering in sort of her representation of Asian American characters on screen, but also sort of oversaw these massive shifts in the film industry. So she's pretty amazing, and I hope you'll join us to learn more about her. Starting this week, actually, we're participating in CineCon Cultura, which is Ithaca's Latinx Heritage Month Film Festival. We have a really exciting lineup of films. I'm particularly excited about this one, which is called Flamingo in the Mist, and it's like an environmental thriller. I encourage you to check out that festival. It's offered in collaboration with Ithaca College, Cinemopolis, and the Latinx Studies program here at Cornell. We're also focusing on the greatest films of all time, ? So that invitation to consider what makes a film great is something that we're doing by riffing on the British Film Institute's list of the greatest films of all time, which was published last December. And so I've essentially pulled like the baseball stats of this list and highlighted a few films that are new to the list entirely, a few films that have always been in the top 10, and a few films that are like new to the top of the list this year, including John Dielman 35 Cray Roussel, which is 3 hours and 20 minutes long, but like entirely transformative. So please don't miss it if you have a chance to come. But the idea is to question who makes these lists, how do they change, what do they reflect about ourselves and society, and how do they factor into your own sort of understanding of movies, and what would your list look like of the greatest films of all time. We're also celebrating 100 years of Disney. It's the birthday of the founding of the studio. And so we're doing weekend matinees of some sort of beloved films from Disney, also trying to reflect the way the brand has evolved over time from like a technological and sort of industrial perspective. Ratatouille was a favorite choice of my student staff, so we had to choose that one. We're also focusing on New Queer Cinema as a partnership with the LGBTQ Studies Program. And it'll feature, I think it's six films from the past year that sort of explore LGBTQ stories, experiences, and characters. There's a lot of really compelling films that I'm excited to get this, and I hope you'll consider checking it out. We're also doing a spotlight on documentaries, which we do every fall. But a lot of sort of exciting things coming up. There's one called 20 Days in Mariupol, which focuses on the war in Ukraine, and that'll come up in October, so I hope you'll check that out. And we're spotlighting new restorations and rediscoveries, which is kind of an ongoing focus of our work. We also just have some like new films that we're excited to share with you and sort of collect those under the umbrella of Worth the Watch. We are doing like a Barbenheimer double feature in September, so if you haven't seen that film or those films or want to participate in that cultural moment, please join us. It'll be a lot of fun. And we're collaborating pretty broadly across campus. So we have a series on African languages and film that's funded by the Institute for African Development. We're working with colleagues in performing arts and they're producing on Nollywood cinema. And we're also partnering with the College of Arts and Sciences to, in the lead up to the visit of Lori Anderson, who's an important multimedia artist, and we'll be visiting at the end of September.
So there's lots on offer.
That's just kind of a snapshot of what you can see this fall, but please check our website and also like reach out or find me after if you have any questions. I just wanted to say a word about our Student Advisory Board. This group is a group that gets together about twice a month. It's both undergrad and graduate students, and the role is kind of to advise me on programming and how Cornell Cinema can best serve the student community here at Cornell. And so we think through specific programming ideas. One of our projects for this semester will be how to engage with the president's initiative around freedom of expression, but also to plan fun events. So the middle photo, which is probably hard to see, but a group went bowling at Helen Newman before a screening of The Big Lebowski a couple weeks ago. So they're thinking about creative ways to create community for students through the experience of a film. If you're interested in getting involved in that group, we're like enthusiastically welcoming new members. You can email cinema@cornell.edu and we'll add you to the mailing list. You can also register through campus groups and I'll add you to the mailing list that way. But we have a really great group and we sort of assign the graduate students of the group to think particularly about the grad student experience. And so we've got like, I think 6 or 7 grad students continuing with us, Nako being one of them, and I'm sorry he wasn't able to join us today to talk more about it. I did want to talk just a little bit about the ways we've been thinking about it specifically engaging the graduate student community. We've long been sponsors of trivia at the Big Red Barn, so if you've ever won trivia, you've probably gotten free passes to Cornell Cinema. We're excited to continue that tradition, and I'm also hoping that we can do like a movie night trivia at some point this semester. But we also sort of warmly welcome groups from the Big Red Barn, from Hasbrook House, and student organizations to like come all together to see a movie. Last semester we partnered with the Iranian Graduate Student Association on a series, and I look forward to continuing similar collaborations in the future with other student groups and with the Iranian Student Association again. But this summer we tried out a really fun idea at the Big Red Barn, which was to do summer movies out of doors. And so we originally planned for 3, and for like bizarre weather reasons and sort of my caution and fear of thunderstorms, we only ended up being able to do 1, but it was really fun. We showed Jaws for a group of about 26 students outside in the back of the Big Red Barn. We got to take advantage of the new picnic tables, which they look beautiful in the GPS they funded. So if you haven't seen them yet, they're very lovely. But that was a sort of a year-long collaboration with Jen, the former manager at the Big Red Barn. But what we did was get together a group of grad students from the advisory board and from the Big Red Barn programming staff to brainstorm about like what would be a fun kind of theme for summer movies. And we arrived not entirely unexpectedly at the idea of summer movies. And so we started with Jaws, feeling like the quintessential summer film, but the series ultimately sort of was designed around the idea of bodies of water and sort of the summer months. Unfortunately, we only did the 1, but it was really fun. We had like blow up sharks on the table and cool decorations and beer served around the corner by the Big Red Barn staff. And this was great fun, and it's something that there feels like there's a real demand for, particularly amongst grad students who are more likely to be here in the summer months than undergrad students. And it was a really great chance just to get together and appreciate kind of this beautiful place in the summer. And it's something we would like to do more regularly, which is why I'm sort of here to make a proposal to you for some additional funding. And so I'll mention that for this setup, we were very lucky that the Big Red Barn agreed to purchase a screen on Amazon that would be sort of specific to this space and would work well enough for our screening for this kind of scale of people. But it's kind of, we were sort of cobbling together a set of what we all had laying around. And it looks great, but it was not like the best it possibly could be. So it was really delightful to watch Jaws as a group again. But what we would like to propose is this idea of bringing back Cornell Cinema Under the Stars, which is actually a tradition that has existed in the past, but has been sort of offline for at least the past 5 years because the equipment we used to use is no longer sort of in functioning order, and there hasn't been resources to kind of revive the program. But I'll show you, these aren't great photos. These were inherited from my predecessor, but they'll give you a little bit of a sense of where we used to do this program. Essentially, Cornell Cinema would host on the Willow Street Terrace, so up on the fourth floor there, overlooking the lake, sort of 3 to 6 summer film screenings. The themes changed all the time each year, but we would set up chairs and food and drink and sort of welcome people to the terrace for screenings in the summer. One of the reasons this is really important for us operationally is because Willow Street Hall doesn't have air conditioning. And so one of the reasons we don't do screenings in the summer is that it gets too hot in there to comfortably and safely welcome people. And so we're essentially offline for the whole summer because we sort of don't have another option of how to show movies in a way that is safe and enjoyable. And so my goal is to kind of bring back that experience and to take the success of what we did at the Big Red Barn last summer and sort of amplify that by sort of bringing back the Cinema Under the Stars program. My plan would be to host between 3 and 6 screenings in the course of the summer months, thinking about sort of May, probably after commencement, through August. One of the programmatic ideas is to think about this as a time to show film restorations, and I'll show you a little bit about why in a second. But I think it would be essentially, we could take this opportunity in any direction, think about films with bodies of water, think about any kind of thing we want. But the idea would be to kind of revive that beloved program by sort of purchasing a setup for the Willow Street Terrace, hosting a summer screening program, and sort of partnering with local vendors to have like food and beverage pop-ups and sort of think really creatively about the possibilities within that space. So I'm showing you here a couple of like programs that inspire me. I don't think we'll ever get quite the scale of this on the Willow Street Terrace, but this idea of sort of watching movies in a piazza in a public space as a community in the summer months is something that I think would be really well received by the community here at Cornell, and that we have a kind of unique opportunity to have create a different experience than we can offer in the summer months. So I'm showing you here Il Cinema Retrovato, which is in Bologna. And that's actually a program of recently restored films from all around the world. And that program travels. So there's sites at UNH in California, in New York City, that sort of take the program that happens in this piazza in Bologna and bring it to the US. And I think that could be a potential like exciting partnership for this type of offering. They do a similar thing, that's the Locarno Film Festival in Switzerland, which also sort of has a big piazza moment. And then, has anybody ever been to a rooftop cinema club screening? These have popped up sort of over in New York and London and sort of major metropolitan areas all over, but they're sort of designed to sort of create community and foster sort of film loving in unexpected places. And I think we have sort of a similar opportunity to do that. And so this proposal was something we initially reached out about late in the spring semester. That was too late for the GPSA to consider because you were all done with the semester. and on to cool summer opportunities. But we, Malia generously invited us to sort of revise the proposal for the semester and to invite you to consider it. So what we're asking for you to consider is to potentially contribute $10,000 of additional funding to the cinema that would allow us to invest in a new outdoor screening setup for Cornell Cinema. This would be like a one-time equipment investment for us. It wouldn't necessarily be exactly the screen, but I thought it would help to visualize kind of what we were thinking. We've had to kind of talk with the facilities folks about like what would be possible to put on Willis Tray Hall, and I got a plea for not the same thing we used to have because it was scary to climb up there and hang it. But we also require sort of a speaker set up to support that, the sort of infrastructure to tie everything down, and just kind of like the technical equipment to make these screenings possible again. I think it's probably a modest ask in the scheme of this university, but it's a pretty significant opportunity for Cornell Cinema, and I really appreciate your considering it. I didn't go into sort of nitty-gritty details about like exactly what screen and what speakers and all of that, but we can provide all that information if it's helpful. That's sort of the pitch I would like to leave you with, and the opportunity we have to sort of keep Cornell Cinema as a resource for the grad student community and the greater Ithaca community in the summer months, and to sort of reimagine together what that could look like and how it could benefit grad students. So I'm happy to take any questions about this, about the cinema more broadly. I welcome your ideas and feedback. I'm always looking for ways to partner and collaborate. So my inbox is open.
Thanks so much, Mom.
I have a couple of questions. Do you have any data from the past when these summer sessions were going on like how many people were using it, and if like how many people were from the graduate student community? That type of data might be helpful. And then would these events be free for graduate students in the summer, or would it also be, you know, part of the annual pass, or would students have to pay for it?
I should have that breakdown top of hand of like previous times. What I can say is that the outdoor entire screening always sold out, but I don't know exactly what percentage were graduate students. But I can get that and provide that data for sure. One other idea I had too was to do, and I don't know if this would be a good idea, but to do just like one event that is exclusively for grad students on the terrace, which could be sort of a fun opportunity and something that we could certainly commit to sort of as part of this investment. But the all access pass would be good for these, definitely. And we could even think about like a summer pass for grad students particularly, or a way to participate even at a lower rate for this.
One other question, do you know how long you expect the material or the equipment would last with this type of investment?
Yeah, it depends on like a little bit on use factors beyond our control. So like if we got a crazy windstorm or something, that could reduce the life. But generally like 6 to 10 years is the expectancy of this type of equipment. And we have the one piece of it in place already, which is the projector to kind of show the films, and that's probably the most expensive equipment purchase that we could make for the series. And that is in great working order, has at least 5 to 6 more years expected.
Okay. I had a question, Molly, about the capacity or the Willard Strait Terrace.
Oh, like how many people we can fit up there?
Yes.
I think it's at least like 175. It depends a bit on how you do the tables, and the furniture options up there have shifted since last time we did it. So we would be a little bit kind of like schematic, starting from scratch. But if you did seating at like round tables, that reduces capacity a bit. If you did kind of rows like they do for Rooftop Cinema Club or some of those others, we could fit more people. I think like the fire capacity of that space is closer to like 500 people can be up there, but we wouldn't kind of crowd people in too much.
I have a question regarding the number. How did you come up with that number?
What number?
10,000 for the.
Oh, I have a full-time projectionist, and so I asked him to scout sort of specific equipment for this space. So he was putting together a setup that would fit in the Willard Street Terrace, so screen-wise that would fit in that space. That would allow for both mono and stereo sound, which are kind of the two main sound film formats that we work with. And so that would mean kind of three speakers across the front, which I don't want to like ruin how sound cinema experiences work for you, but three speakers across the front to sort of have stereo sound from the stage, and then sort of amplification along the side so that everybody could hear equally well from where they're sitting. And so he's back to kind of the most reasonable options there. And we would definitely kind of shop for the best deal, look for partnerships with vendors, and kind of choose the options that have the biggest longevity and most likelihood of like being able to work well for a while, but also kind of very reasonable and affordable.
I need to be yielded to. I'm not a voting member.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay. Hi there. Lovely presentation overall. Thank you so much for coming. I do want to ask, I'm assuming that the $10,000 ask is to get the equipment so that y'all can keep it for future years.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have logistics in regards to storing all the items as well as maintaining them and doing regular checks? Is that all been taken care of?
Yes. So we have, one of the things we did this summer actually was clean out a lot of our storage, our sort of backstage storage in Willard Street Theater. We found lots of stuff, records going back to 1970. So it was a cool detective hunt. But we have secure areas sort of inside the Willard Street Theater that are safe to maintain this stuff. And then our projectionist, Matt, is responsible for all of the maintenance of the equipment. And so he would regularly kind of check, set up, test. Sometimes you have to like use electronic equipment for to keep it in working order. And anything that's beyond his capacity, we bring in specific service for. So we have a couple of vendors that we work with if there were sort of any electrical or technical issues. But we're very fortunate to have our projectionist, Matt, who is both like a film guy and a tech wizard. Thank you for your question.
Yeah. Do you also have any numbers in regards to what your annual budget is overall?
Yeah, our annual operating budget is just under $500,000. The vast majority of that is staff salaries, and our annual programming budget is around $55,000 to $60,000. So that's what we use to sort of spend money on screen.
There's a question from Zoom. Student involvement role in Cornell Cinema, what's the commitment look like and is it flexible?
It is flexible. I would say like the two primary ways that students are involved with Cornell Cinema at this stage are through the Student Advisory Board, which has about 36 active members, as far as I know. It is a goal of mine to build the graduate student engagement in that group, but I appreciate that you also have lots of things that you're committed to. And the other way students are involved with us is in staff roles. So we employ about 25 students in our front of house operations. I think for something like the summer series, we could follow a similar path that we did for the Big Red Barn series and having graduate students like co-curate that. That would be something I'd be particularly excited to do with the group. But yes, there's always room for sort of creative ideas of how students can be more involved. That's my favorite part of my job, I'll tell you, is actually working with our student staff and with the advisory board.
Wonderful. Well, I think that's it on
time. Yeah, I'm sorry. We could have way more time than I think it's fine.
Just as a to let you know what happens after this. So from here, we'll probably make a survey and pull students and see how they feel about pulling this money. And then probably back to you with more follow-up questions.
Okay, perfect.
They kind of come out that way. This is what we did with Big Red Barn too. And then may or may not lead to like another presentation here. And then from there, we'll do a final vote on what students feel most comfortable on and what I did last time with Big Red Barn is we ranked it into three separate groupings of what students felt very solidly in support of. There was marginal support of, and then there was minimal support of. Mm-hmm. And then with Big Red Barn, we got the two lower groups approved and not the higher group.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Greg. And if anyone here is interested in being involved in kind of this process of making the survey questions, or perhaps being involved in writing up an eventual proposal, if we feel like students are excited about funding this, let us know and we can write your name down and get you in contact with people doing that.
Thank you for your time and your questions, and hope to see you all sometime.
All right. So up next will be the breakout sessions to discuss the resolution and any of the open positions. We wanted to switch it up a little bit this week. Instead of doing it by like study area, life science, physical science, social science, we're going to do it by your year at Cornell. So we're going to have a group of first year students, a group of second year, third year, and then maybe fourth year and above. So we'll have four different groups. And mix it up that way a little bit and see if people enjoy that type of breakout room instead. So you'll be discussing resolution one, changes to the funding guidelines, and then resolution two, which is going to be presented on today. We aren't voting on it, so I think we'll wait to hear the presentation from David. We don't really need to discuss it quite yet. We'll meet back at 5:55. To get going into the day. All right, first years over there, second years over here, third years, and then fourth years and above, maybe out in the little atrium. I
I don't want to join a breakdown.
All right, we're gonna get back into the business of the day, everyone. Hope you enjoyed the breakout session.
Motion to table resolution one. I'm doing this because resolution one has had changes made to it, and because it has changes in our bylaws, we are not allowed to vote on the same day that it's presented. So we will be voting next meeting on what is presented, and I'll probably email out a version of it before next meeting, the final version. So this was just for discussion. So if you have questions, feel free to ask those, but yeah, we won't vote right now.
Do we have a second for that motion?
Second.
All right, thank you. So we will be tabling resolution one for now. These are all still kind of in effect for clubs and organizations already through campus groups, so don't worry about that, but we will be voting on officially changing our bylaws next week once the document is kind of finalized. Okay, moving on to resolution two, we will have David presenting on our internal budget proposal.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. The line item budget is more or less complete. I'm not presenting it today because there's a few numbers I just want to confirm with Jessica on, and we're just dealing with that in the background here. And then for the activity fee, We're kind of same boat. And for the GPSAFC guidelines, there's a few edits. I think you'll discuss about it, but there's a few edits that I'm working on with a couple of people, including Cornell's general counsel. So I'm waiting to hear back from them on that, because there's a couple of changes just in the laws that we haven't changed GPSFC to reflect, as well as there's a lot of other changes that, because we are moving to campus groups, that need to be reflected on the GPSAFC guidelines. So hope to have that finalized next week, roughly. But there's quite a bit working on, a lot of people working on that right now in the background.
Yeah, to throw out some numbers that David gave me, his current activity fee proposal is $97 from the current $87.50 to...
Right now it's $85. Right now it's at $85, but my proposal currently is $97 tentatively. But the range is from $87.50 from the low end to, I believe the high was $106. I don't know if that's on the group chat. And 70 cents. Yeah, I think that was it. So that's the range which we expect the activity fee on. But $97 is the most likely number. There's a few numbers that have to be confirmed before we can put that concretely up for a vote. I just want to make sure that we have 12 buckets that activity fee gets broken up into. So I want to make sure that every group gets the funding that they require, or maybe they have too much funding, and so we can cut back from that bucket a little bit. But those buckets include Cornell Cinema. They include GPSA. Our own budget comes from there. The bulk of our activity fee comes from GPSA FC, which there was 148 new student organizations that joined last year. We had about 202 student orgs last year. We have about 349, I believe, somewhere around there. Yeah. This year. So because of that kind of influx in student orgs, that is the bulk of that kind of increase you're seeing. And we've also left the activity fee unchanged for about 6 years. And just with inflation and with all the student organizations that have joined GPSAFC, and increased access to funds through campus groups. That's where we need to increase so we have funding for those student organizations. And the other kind of buckets include athletics, like the Big Red Pass that you guys have, where you can go to free sporting events, is funded through the activity fee. Medical services, some of the money comes from the activity fee, and so just need to make sure that all the numbers line up before I propose that. But yeah, tentatively, so for some food for thought, we are sitting at $97, so a $12 increase, about 14.1% increase from the prior activity fee.
And that is over a year, so yeah. The semester would be half of that. So right now the semester is like 42 something.
It would increase $6 a semester for students that they would have to pay. It's like a net number that you guys can think about.
All right. Thank you, David. Does anyone have any questions about either Resolution 1 or Resolution 2 that they'd like to bring up right now? Yeah.
Just to clarify, how much of a yielded increase would the budget be with this new proposed amount in comparison to previous amounts? Like if we collect from every graduate student, what's
it
the budget?
It differs from year to year because of the graduate and professional student number that changes every year.
Right.
So I think that this is just like a predicted and relative increase due to these things. Normally not all graduate student groups use their budget, but we don't know how this will change with the way that we
changed funding guidelines. So normally what they would have to do is, it was kind of a cumbersome budget method. So most groups didn't actually use the majority of their budget. I guess we're, this year is very much like a test year to figure out how much we will need to adjust things. And then we have the ability to change the student activity fee every 2 years, right? Yeah. So every 2 years it comes back up on the agenda whether or not we will change it. So if there is like an extremely large shift after this year, you might see that effect happen 2 years from now.
All right, we will move on to filling open positions within GPSA. First off, there is a call to fill open GPSA committee chair positions. The open position is for faculty teaching, advising, and mentorship award committee chair. Would anyone like to nominate themselves or others?
Oh, I'm not currently a voting member, but my name is Gus Dunn-Hindle. I'm an NPS in the Global Development Department, and I would nominate myself for chairship of that committee, basically on the basis that I had a really lovely teacher in my undergrad, and his pedagogy was crazy, and I don't think I would be here without him, and I'd love to recognize that in the world. So.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to nominate themselves or someone else for this committee chair? All right. Hearing no other nominations, are there any objections to unanimously voting Gus into the position of faculty teaching, advising, and mentorship award committee chair? Approved. All right, now we will move on to the open GPSA voting member positions. Would anyone like to nominate themselves or someone else for the open master's degree program representative position? Yes, all right. We'll start here and move down.
This is Aksai Bal, and I'm an international student here. I'm in MPH program. And so as far as my experience of working with organizations concerned, I have here. Organization, we're working on climate change, and I have a prior experience of organizing various national and international events and managing them and organizing them and managing a whole team. I think like being at this position, I would be able to like work with other master students and maybe we'll be able to create and work, to bring some innovative kind of events that is kind of different from from the traditional events. So yeah, I believe so. So I would not nominate myself for this position.
Thank you. Would anyone be, go ahead.
All right, hi everyone. My name is Ocean Kareem. Ocean spelled and pronounced like the word. Fun fact, I don't know how to swim. I have had 4 years of experience in my previous institution, student government, as a senator, vice president, and president as well. And we regularly manage a $3.8 million budget to allocate to many various clubs and organizations, as well as hosting many different events like Wolfland, which is called Carnival, or Brookfest, a whole concert and stuff. And we've gone through a lot of many different businesses and proposals and procedures and stuff as well. I'm very familiar with Robert's orders and motions and everything as well. And I first joined that student government because I really wanted to be involved with my campus, be able to work with a wide variety of different people and administration and students and like more as well. And I really want to continue this as well. I'm only going to be here for 2 years, but I really do want to make the most out of my 2 years here. And so beyond just like trying to join the GPSA, I am also just talking to a lot of my peers in my MPH program, as well as because I'm also living in Hasbrook apartments, I'm also communicating with just the staff, as well as just spending time with the other parents and other people living in the community. I'm a really big people person, and I just love getting to know people overall, and I have many ideas from the past and continuing on. And I really want to work towards introducing more events, bringing more voices to the table, especially with inclusivity, diversity, equity, and accessibility, and overall just making this a really fun year. So thank you so much.
Can I get a spelling of your name really quick?
Yeah.
A-Q-S-A.
Q-S-A?
Okay.
All right. Did anyone else want to nominate themselves?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name is Kate Villagresa. I am a first-year student in the MPA program in the Brooks School of Public Policy. And so I'm also running for the same position. Personally, I feel like there's always room for improvement, especially in institutions that are rapidly changing every single year. And also, we kind of talked about inflation too, so might as well throw that in there as well. Things change all the time. And so I just hope that why I'm running for this position is so I can help enact growth and change, be a voice for graduate and professional students who are currently attending the institution. In the past, I've also worked in student government in my undergraduate institution as a president and a senator. And I also was, I put motions forth to institute new positions there because I felt that voices weren't heard. Those included equity and accessibility, as well as diversity, equity, inclusion, which we didn't have a senator position on that. And as well as an international student senator, because we didn't have that either, even though we had a very large international student population. I've also worked in the YMCA as a youth and government representative. And it's another small program called Teens Take the City. I'm from this New York City. And that was about making policy and bills. So I'm very familiar with government as well. I hope you consider me for the position, and thank you for hearing me out this evening.
Thank you all so much. Is there anyone else who would like to nominate themselves or someone else? Okay, I just want to let you know, like, we love this excitement and engagement, and there are many university committee positions that I think, you know, we can only have one master's representative, but you don't have to be a voting member to be on some of these university committees where you can have like a very tangible difference in a lot of very interesting areas. So I hope you guys who, you know, don't get voted into the master's voting rep position will also consider.
What?
This was fine.
No, we
didn't
do that.
This
is for the master's voting.
For those of you that don't get voted into this position, that you'll consider being on the university committee positions to represent graduate students. I love that. Okay, so since there are three people, we will need to do a...
Can I just double check?
Yes.
Ava, ABA?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
All of the voting members will need to write down their vote. their vote on a piece of paper. And.
Yeah, very good. So with 5 votes, Ava, congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Can we get your net ID?
Yes, AFL68.
Once again, we hope that the two of you will look at some of the open university committee positions that we have, because you'll still be able to like present on what those committees are doing to the GPSA and be very involved.
Would we hear back about whether we would also qualify for the biological sciences or the other ones, since we're both in BH?
Yeah, that was a question.
I feel like we don't have other people for it, maybe.
Let me check the
breakfast. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll get back to you on that.
Thank you.
We
can
in between
them. Convenient.
Yes. So we do have an open law program representative. Would anyone like to nominate themselves?
I would like to nominate myself. So.
Wonderful. What is your name?
My name is Troy. Should I stand?
Go for it.
I feel like everybody else was standing. My name is Troy. I have lots of experience in student advocacy. I created ASU's first multicultural student center as student body president. I was the first person in 40 years to get a student elected to the Arizona Board of Regents. So that involved like constant communication with the governor's office, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. manage the budget of about $450,000, yada, yada, yada. You guys all get the gist. I've been a law student for just over a year now. I'm entering my second year. I'll be working in commercial and business litigation after I graduate. This past summer, I worked on a murder case down in Texas. So a criminal defense case overall. So other than that, I don't know. I speak French, Spanish, Portuguese, a little bit of Mandarin, and that's about it for me. I'm open to any questions you may have.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say what you were going to say, David, unless you want to just say it.
Just say it.
Yeah, I can just say it. Yeah. Hey, Troy, this is David Brown. I don't know if we know each other, but I can just reach out to me. Are you on the law school Discord, the 2020 class of 2025 Discord?
Possibly. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. The law school and Johnson reps are school nominated. So you're going to have to get nominated through CLSA for this position.
Okay.
But that's fine. We have three representatives. I'm one, and the other two, we have two available. We're looking for some people. So I can throw your name to Truman, and we can get that done.
Okay. I had no idea about any of this process.
No, that's fine. I think it's just for the law school and Johnson School. I don't know if that's the case for any other.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So all the professional schools, they're nominated from within the school.
Okay.
So yeah, you guys can connect on that, and I'm sure you'll be. There will we'll also work on trying to keep you in the loop. But we'll keep moving forward because we have 10 minutes left in the meeting. Are there any people who would like to nominate themselves or someone else for the Arts and Humanities vote in Denver?
Hello everyone, my name is Rajni Thakur. A little bit about myself. I'm a second year PhD student in the Department of German Studies. I was a being representative for the Department of German Studies for the past academic years 2022 and 2023. I was in my first year back then, and I was pretty new to GPSA, so I was just very silently attending the meetings. But I feel like I'm pretty confident now, and I have a good understanding of what happens in the meetings. And I'm also the treasurer of the graduate student organization within the department, which is the Pandemonium Germanicum. We represent the interests of graduate students in the department. We have language hours going on Mondays at the Big Red Barn, which is the Deutsch Sprach Cafe, from 5 to 6. I mean, in order to attend these meetings, I'm missing alternate sessions there, but it's okay. It's a good trade-off, I would say. We also organize student symposium workshops, and we were able to as Pandemonium Germanic, we were able to do one last spring, so just last semester. And it was an open symposium for graduate students in the Department of German Studies, but also in comparative literature. And it was a huge success. A lot of us were just in our first year, and we presented works which were in progress, but there were also people in their fifth year, sixth year, and they could present chapters from their thesis. And I believe we should be able to organize more such workshops where you could also invite speakers. And being the treasurer of the Pandemonium Germanicum and looking at the financial aspect of things, I've realized that it's also important to just have an idea of what's happening in GPSA for the current academic year. And I would say that's the motivation for me to nominate myself for the position of voting member for Arts and Science, Arts and Humanities.
Awesome. Thank you. Would anyone else like to nominate themselves or an Arts and Humanities voting?
I'll nominate myself. Hi, I'm Xander Lynch. I'm a PhD student in linguistics. Hopefully that's art and humanities. And I just feel like being more involved in GPSA, because I have to be here anyways for my organization, but I feel like being more involved would also get me to know more about the campus and the culture, and I think it'd be really great to be somewhat a part of the machinery of the school. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to nominate themselves or someone else for Arts and Humanities? All right, since we have three open positions and two people who have been nominated,
Are there any objections to unanimously voting both of them into those positions? Nope.
Congrats.
All right, moving on to biological sciences.
Oh, wait, let me pause real quick. Net IDs.
Yes.
ZCL7.
Minus RP454.
Okay.
So you both can run for the representative position at the third meeting. That's as our charter says. So next meeting, which would be in 2 weeks, you can come back and run for this position.
Sounds good. Would anyone like to nominate themselves or someone else for biological sciences voting position? As we were saying, if there are master students who are interested in that position, they can nominate themselves after the third week if there are, or third meeting if there are still open positions. So hopefully both of you will come back and be voting members at the next meeting. Mm-hmm. All right, seeing nothing, we'll move on to physical sciences. Would anyone like to nominate themselves or someone else? Okay, moving on, social sciences. Anyone interested in nominating? No? Great. We'll move on to the Open University Committee positions. We have an open space on the academic freedom and professional status of the faculty. I'll just read them out, and if anyone wants to nominate for any of them, I'll just call for that after I read them all out. We also have the Student Library Advisory Council, made up of undergrads and graduate students advising the library and their different programming. There's also the Codes and Judicial Committee, the Campus Welfare Committee, and the Campus Committee on Infrastructure, Technology, and then the Environment, and finally, the Grad School General Committee. Would anyone like to nominate themselves or someone else to be the GPSA representative on one of those university committees? Yeah, sir.
Yes, I nominate myself to the Campus Committee on Infrastructure, Technology, and Environment.
We'll just take them all down and then maybe vote in unison. Yeah.
Am I able to nominate the non member?
Yeah. 100%.
I'd like to nominate Asa for the Campus Welfare Committee. If she accepts.
Yeah.
You accept that nomination? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would anyone else like to? Yeah.
Can I ask what the Codes and Judicial Committee intends?
You know, that one specifically is. So as far as Jessica, do you know off the top of your head?
I just pulled it up.
I was going to say, you probably have.
Sitting now, and it's part of the university assembly. So. This goes. Oh, we didn't put the involved here.
I think if I'm just a framework reference for what they did last year.
Yeah,
correct. Yeah.
Last year they came up with their new name because there's no longer one campus code. There's multiple campus codes, and they. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. I would like to call for a motion to extend the meeting by 10 minutes.
Second. Okay. I move to extend the meeting by 10 minutes.
Yeah. Second. All right. We'll extend the meeting until 6:40. Sorry, guys. Trying to go through.
Essentially, they deal with campus codes, and there's a lot of interaction with the upper administration with that, because it's like the student code of conduct and things of that nature, those types of codes. And then judicial used to be in their name because they also used to oversee the judicial process. But I think with a recent code change, there was a removal of some of their power on the judicial side.
But on these committees, you interact with graduate students, undergraduate students, staff members, and faculty to have kind of all voices of the university represented at these committees. Yes.
Could you please elaborate on what the use of campus about?
Yeah, that's kind of just broadly welfare of the people who are on the campus. So that can be things like health benefits. I think the transportation, yeah. The natatorium, that was a a resolution that went through suggesting that the university put money into a large pool complex.
I've got the
things
charges
that
sort.
Okay.
So campus code reads any proposed motion related to student code of conduct, solicitation of applications from interested faculty, students, and staff for service on the university hearing and review boards, issues involving academic freedom and freedom of speech for all members of Cornell University community. Committee may propose review and amend resolutions. Campus Welfare Committee reviews proposed motions related to diversity and inclusion, family support, health services, and any other topic deemed relevant to campus welfare. The committee proposes, reviews, and amends resolutions as it deems appropriate. The Campus Infrastructure, Technology, and Environment Committee reviews and approves any proposed motion related to environmental impact and sustainability, information technology, transportation and commuter policies, and any other topic deemed relevant to campus infrastructure. They propose, review, and amend resolutions.
All right. So would anyone? Yeah.
I like to nominate myself for the Campus Welfare Committee as well.
Would anyone else like to nominate themselves for a committee position? No? Okay, so since none of these are competitive positions, are there any issues with unanimously approving all of these folks to join the committees? No? All right, congrats. We will make sure that you get connected between respective admin and leadership for those committees, and you'll get emails about the meetings.
Can I get a quick credit from each of you?
SOK27.
AI 267. Okay, wonderful. We had the finance chair. Would we also have one other GPSA committee chair position open up, as Kripa will be graduating soon? So would anyone like to nominate themselves or someone else for the GPSA finance committee chair position? Okay, great. Would anyone else like to nominate themselves for that position? All right. Any issues with unanimously approving AFLA to be the finance
committee chair?
Congrats. We're very happy to have you. And that is also a vote of confidence. All right, we will very quickly go through the reports of officers and committee updates. Executive committee.
I am pulling together advisory board for transportation. In addition to that, I'm working at the University Assembly to talk about how the English Language Services Office is not accessible for employees. I'm also looking into getting campus-to-campus bus use for medical purposes. So for example, we had an OBGYN resolution last year that got shut down, essentially saying that we could not get an MD gynecologist on campus. So I'm trying to see for people who have larger medical needs, if there's an alternative way, make sure they're still receiving the care that they need. I'm gonna move forward on the Cornell Cinema funding project. And I also wanted to look into expanding the Access Fund through the summertime for grads and professional students. We're here in the summertime. That's about it.
Operations.
Okay, so all voting members are required to be on one of our committees for the GPSA bylaws. So you'll be receiving an email from me pretty soon asking you to choose a committee to join. There are a certain number of positions, like open spots per committee, to ensure that we get enough membership on all the committees. So just be aware of that. And it's all the committees listed under report or under this update section, except the exec committee and the graduate school. So with that, the operations committee will be taking on a bylaw revision project. So if that's something you're interested in, let me know, but you can also sign up for that when I send out that email. And then, committee chairs will be setting up a time to meet all together to go over just expectations for the year and goals. So expect an email from me there.
Wonderful. Appropriations.
You've kind of gone over most of it, David. All right, we're good.
Well, yeah, I just kind of what I said earlier. So.
Okay, great. Thanks, David.
Yeah.
Communications.
My first communique went out on Friday. So I hope you guys saw that. I'm going to update the new voting members and have all the listed open positions. So if you or your friends would like to participate and fill some of these positions, you guys have an updated list. Just continuing working on spreading communication effectively through our Instagram and other forms of social media. So look out for that. Yeah.
All right. Finance. Do you have any student advocacy?
Do we have a student? It's mom, but she's not here right now.
Okay. Diversity International students, Drew is not here.
Drew did send out things. They're recruiting people to their committee.
They've already started. They had their first meeting, I believe, last week. They are looking for additional people who want to be on the Diversity and International Committee. Programming. Katie is not here. Graduate school.
The only new piece to report is a new strategy for meeting with the leadership team of the GPSA and the graduate school. So looking forward to a really exciting year ahead.
Okay.
All right, back to the
district
chair.
They are looking for help. So if anyone is willing to join DIS, email Drew. He has a class for this first 7-week session, but that'll end later after that. His net ID is DPP45. And then they had an early visioning workshop and they identified two themes, creating a strong community and network of existing diversity groups to advocate for common issues, and then serving as a resource for international students to improve campus life in and around Ithaca. They're interested in joining the ELSO, which is the English Language Services Office Advisory Board, and are going to be figuring out who on their committee will take on this role. And they also are going to look into other committees that they can have presence on, including the Graduate and Professional Student Diversity Council, which is overseen by Sarah Zayath Hernandez, the Associate Dean for Inclusion, Student and Faculty Engagement.
All right, awesome. We have 2.5 minutes for an open forum if anyone would like to bring up any issues that were not discussed today. All right, I would entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
Yeah. Good job, team.
See you in the next one.